don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again for another Shades of Blue soccer show. After Sporting Kansas City draws 1-1 in Minnesota, we should have got more points up there, but Kyrie scored, and I don't care.
Yeah, I know you didn't toe the company line there, Cody. It says Shelton scores as Sporting Kansas City earns. That's got to be the headline.
See, Shelton scores, and I do care. I still care that we did not get 3 points, but
hallelujah,
still you
hallelujah,
cannot.
Hallelujah.
You cannot complain about getting a road point. And we see Minnesota in, 2 weeks? So we'll get 3 points then.
You know, we can complain about not getting 3 points in Minnesota.
I'm ready to complain.
Let's complain about it.
In the old days, I would have accepted 1 point on the road, but we want Sporting to be the premier side.
We score goals, damn it!
The upper tier of MLS.
Yes.
We want them to be in the same mention as Atlanta and New York City and...
That was not an upper tier performance today. If you look at the chances that we had, I was out. I was on the bench today. Flew back early to do the podcast, but but if you look at the chances that they had, it was almost unbelievable that not one more went in. Johnny Russell could have had a hat trick, in my opinion.
Well, Johnny in the post game comments is not very happy and satisfied. So,
and he shouldn't be.
Yeah,
he shanked one that he should have put on goal. A weak shank.
And then the one that was eventually cleared out by the Minnesota defender, but it still was off target. It was like a precautionary clearance, I guess, just being extra safe.
Yeah, which was
but
more
it was
dangerous.
Already on its,
that was more dangerous than the
shot.
I thought he was about to kick it in.
Yeah, I thought he was about to blast it through the back of the net.
When I first saw that, I thought, oh, Sinovic shot that. Oh, no. Hey, I almost saw the highlights.
He was probably our best player on the field, but yeah, there was a lot of moments that bothered me as well. I wanted to see more out of him.
And the volley I saw he did was nice.
But right at the keeper.
A damn tree could have stopped that.
Granted.
A tree planted in the middle of the goal could have stopped that. And I would just like to point out that on Milia's flub is what I'm going to call
flub.
Call that on the goal.
I hate that word so much.
I am not the one that messaged about a tree. That is the one that called him out about being a tree.
No, that was just to you. That wasn't in public.
I'm just saying, I didn't do it. Thad did it.
But that flub, or if that's what we're going to call it, wasn't even like a tree move. That was just this very awkward bounce, and then it literally slid down every part from his chest to his feet and then bounced out, and everyone was like, what? Just what tree?
That rebound, he won't be happy with that rebound.
It was like a ball return.
Yeah, no, when you go bowling and it shoots it back out at you, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what
went right back to Quintero, who then put it right back past him.
Yeah. I can't talk. But it would have just been so awesome if Kyrie's first goal could have been the game winner of this,
Why do you hate Flub so much?
I don't. It just reminds me of the movie Flubber. Is that a movie?
It is.
Okay. With that. Yeah. I know, but it's this gross green slime. I don't know.
Did you just call Flubber forgettable?
I did.
What? Maybe we're analyzing it like a serious movie. But I think it was a great children's movie that I still remember decades later. So.
Now Cody will go into a deep analysis about the plotline.
It was entertaining, but the dialogue was not adult enough for
Robert. Robin Williams was in it. Come on.
I was going to say, I can't remember. I thought that was him.
That was the remake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was another Flubber.
Oh, God. Was Flubber a remake?
I really don't know. I think it was.
Showing their ages?
Yeah, our ages are glaringly obvious right about now.
Okay, everybody's looking it up. Flubber.
I think that was an original with Robin Williams.
All right, we
don't know. We're just the young millennials over here.
I have another rhyme from the game too.
Another what?
You guys are kind of.
Did you say rhyme?
Not on a life scale, but in the studio scale, you're old.
Thank you.
Okay, I have another
one. Point.
Another one. Jair Marufo isn't always fair, but Kyrie scored, and I don't care. I love it.
Hey, it was a nice finish. I mean, knocked the ball down.
Can you make that into like a rhyme, like a a certain rhyme and meter, or
well,
a haiku?
I was going to earlier, and then you guys threw off my flow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I always try something on the intro, and then somebody comes in and ruins it.
You could go back and record a new one.
You've got the production.
You have the power.
Yeah,
the technology.
Okay, so Flubber was not a remake, apparently.
Yeah, it was.
So give me the year the original was made.
Well, Son of Flubber was in 1963.
Okay.
Son of Flubber?
So was it like a sequel or a prequel?
Well, I'm trying to find that.
Is it like a Star Wars situation where...
No. There was an original Flubber.
Oh, I may have it.
With Fred McMurray, the
guy
from My
Three
Sons.
Here we go. You're right. Yeah. 1961.
I'm still hung up that Bob
Cody's earth just shattered.
I'm just still hung up that Bob called Flubber forgettable.
What do you guys think? Comment below if you think Flubber deserves more attention than it's getting. Years and years later.
Flubber, 61. Yeah.
And Son of Flubber, 63.
Mm-hmm.
There's like three Flubbers.
But it's the same storyline. Like Son of Flubber was
the
about a green
professor
ball.
The Absent-Minded Professor is the actual original name of the movie.
That is a horrible movie title. Like, imagine trying to get your family to go out to see a movie. And like, oh, guys, like there's a new movie out. What's it called? The Absent-Minded Professor.
Not terribly compelling, is it? But Flubber is. Yeah.
No, Flubber is like
which Allie hates. So that's why we started talking about it.
I think it's a weird word. The little green slime freaked me out.
All right, no more flubs from Tim Melia.
No more flubs.
And was it green slime?
I don't recall that. Wasn't it like a little green blob and it like
green bouncy blob?
Was it the same color of green that Tim Melia wears?
Oh
no, that's a gross color of green.
I was trying to bring it full circle for you, Cody.
Cody's like my favorite color is flubber. So
yeah, it's like, a good color of green,
like tree mold.
Oh god.
Okay, so we've covered Tim Melia. Kind of on that goal. I would like to focus on Ilya for that goal, though.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Let's not leave that goal behind yet, because there was multiple mistakes that led to that.
It was ugly.
Jimmy's 1v1 defending near midfield wasn't the greatest.
On that play?
Right, yeah.
I don't even remember.
It was more like he took up space and, it was
useless. Jimmy was involved somewhere like in the breakdown at
up
like center
front,
field, and then... goes wide and Beisler kind of doesn't
leave his position.
Yeah, and doesn't. I don't know though. If Beisler stepped, like, does that make all the difference? Because I don't think he was close enough that the cross would have still gone off.
Yeah.
Ilya's not tracking back.
I think if you follow that play, watching Ilya, it's hard to not blame him.
Yeah,
right.
Like Melia could have done better with it. Zusi was kind of lackadaisical, sort of, but if you watch Ilya, he just straight loses his man, and that's the guy that gets the original header on it.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue.
And Jimmy was tracking back. He was entering the play at the end of it, just a little too late.
But he was also injured,
yeah,
which is why he was subbed out.
Okay.
So that may have led to why he was a little slower.
But my question is, though, it's like, because Peter commented that the injury was persisting before this game. So why start him? If he's injured in a hot afternoon sun on turf. Like, I just feel like that was a recipe for kind of disaster.
Minnesota can't be that hot.
But turf is like, what, 10 degrees hotter?
Oh, Minnesota can't be, believe me.
I think it was in like the 70s, which on turf, like you're...
Yeah, no, you're right. Sun
was, shining.
Oh,
up north, Minnesota.
North.
That was good.
They have nuts in Minnesota.
I bet Jimmy was politicking pretty hard, telling him he was fine and wanting to play.
True.
Yeah, but they're supposed to be able to like detect when they lie. They need like lie detectors.
And
if they don't have them, does Pinnacle have lie detectors to see if players are going?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm okay, coach. Put me in.
I don't know how they would justify if people found out that they did have that. And like, no, we spent $50,000 on state-of-the-art lie detector equipment.
Yeah, how do you get free agents to come here if there's the possibility they might be lie detected?
I quite thought that Peter could just tell by looking at people.
He seems like
seeing
a human
into their
lie
soul.
Detector.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think you could like lie to Peter Ramiz's face. But either way, Peter did make the sub.
Well, Claudio Bieler might have when he said, "I'm committed."
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I think when he says that there was the injury, I think maybe that is him covering up for his player and not throwing his player under the bus. But I do think a lot of it was that Jimmy wasn't playing well.
You saying like Jimmy was more out of shape, if anything? Like, well, not 90 minutes ready?
That would be hard to believe because he has played 90 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. It was just clear whatever he was doing was not working. Bob, I think I'm looking at your phone. I think you're looking at the picture I'm talking about right now.
That Matt Doyle posted?
The success of
Ibarra.
Of Ibarra before and after he was taken out of the game.
Yeah. Look, Jimmy can be one of the best players on the field, but he can also have bad days. And whether it was an injury or whether it was
just
something
a bad day.
Else, maybe he can't have a week and a half off ever? No.
Yeah.
No, I thought Sinovic, though, like, when he went in, I mean, I know there's that tweet from Doyle where basically just, like you said, showing Ibarra's before and after, you know, kind of action on that wing. And, I mean, I'm glad that Seth was able to come in and do that, but, yeah.
And shout out to all the Peter Vermees haters. Let's say he can't change in-game, and he doesn't like substitutes. He saw what was going on, and he fixed a problem.
And then failed to add two more subs at the end of the game when you could have added Gerso.
But yes, he did.
So
who was not screaming, "Where's Gerso at the end of that game?" How was he not brought on at some point?
And Gerso would have been a perfect addition up top because the press in the second half from Sporting was so strong. On turf, Gerso is so fast. So it's like that is the guy that we needed up there.
Yeah.
Not saying he would have scored, but now we will never know.
That is difficult to stomach.
So.
Now, I have a question, okay? I'm stealing Bob's shtick here. Is the is or isn't that Shelton scored, is he now cured and going to go on and score goals, or isn't he? Did I do that right?
That was passable, yes. You didn't flub it.
I'm not a flubber.
I think is. I don't think we're going to – I think we'll see more goals from Shelton, but I don't think by any means he's going to – I don't think this is like a floodgates are open and he's going to all of a sudden score like 12 goals this season. I think he's going to, you know, maybe knock in a couple more, but I don't – I mean, unless he just can be like that on every set piece, because apparently we're really good at getting corner kicks in our favor.
So if
he can do that on every corner, then, yeah, he'll have like 20-plus goals this season. If you're, you know, looking at it along those lines, but no, I don't think he's going to be our top goal scorer.
Well, you mentioned to me, Allie, that he had a boost in confidence, it seemed, in his play after that goal.
Yeah, but I think that's going to come out more in, you know, him not looking so timid in certain situations. I think he'll be a little bit more forceful, and if that results in some goals, whether it's for him or for other players, I think that's what I saw after that goal. He seemed a little bit more, like, forward and forceful, whereas sometimes he can be a little, like, forceful, but, like, not in the right way or not enough.
There were times he had one shot from distance that was really nice that you could tell he was feeling himself after the goal.
Yeah.
So that was good to see. But he had some other moments that made me think he was still not all that confident. Passing the ball first. But see, then there was another time also where he did try to get around the corner. He got the ball right at the edge of the box and tried to turn on him. Tried to.
And actually, I almost felt like he tried to dribble too much at that point after he got confident. Because he...
Yeah.
And due credit, I mean, he did hold on to the ball with two guys pressuring him, but he needed to get rid of it at that point. Instead of, you know, holding on to the ball for 25 seconds and then losing it.
I felt like that was the name of the game up top for a lot of players today, though. I feel like there were so many times, whether it was Johan or Shelton or even Shallowy, Russell, like some of those guys were just like, I feel like it was like one too many touches, or, you know, just kind of dribbling into like a dead end, or not utilizing their space or opening to a better opportunity.
Yeah, and I don't think the better opportunities are there because our attacking midfielder is not doing what he needs to be doing.
I thought he had a hell of a game today, man.
A hell of a game?
Like, we were talking about this before you got
He played fine. And again, it was one of those where it's like he had his moments where you like see he can do this and this. But still, there were some his patented terrible giveaways in bad spots. And
then, you know, not getting back to recover on said
actually, I thought he did really well at recovering today.
There was one
I'm not saying he was perfect on it, but I thought he did really well on recovering and getting back, because there was some that he lost and he got back and took the ball or fouled the guy.
I know which one you're talking about.
He did quite a few of those, I thought, today pretty well.
There was one he was mad someone didn't give him the right pass in the box and took 1 second to, like, put his hands in the air, and then all of a sudden, the next second he was in the frame, like, stealing the ball back.
Yeah. So I thought he did well at that. I mean, he could have reacted faster, but he reacted well still. And he didn't have a lot of room to complain about not giving him the ball at the right spot, quite honestly. The one thing I will complain about him the most is he still seems to not be in sync enough that he knows where people are going to pass the ball to instinctually. Like, if it's clear, he's going. But if it's not clear, he's not necessarily going yet. But that, and again, a little more defense for Johan is, the team never looks good on turf, and he's basically been playing a lot on turf games lately.
Right.
So I want to see how he plays at Children's Mercy Park next game, and that will be kind of for, like, that's almost going to be the make or break for me. Is he going to be good there and in sync with everybody, or is he going to be just passable until somebody gets back?
Yeah, I agree. These next couple home games are really going to solidify that starting lineup that Peter's been kind of putting out, and seeing if that's going to be Johan's. That's his place. I don't know who, if it's not, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think he's the guy no matter what, I think, at the current moment.
Well, yeah, it's either him or Madranda or Lobato.
Yeah, I think he's going to be sticking with Krause. I think exactly what you said. He's going to be just passable this entire time until Felipe comes back.
Well, I said that's the decision, is if he's going to be just passable till Felipe comes back. Because if he improves, then that gives a lot of options for the midfield.
I'm officially at the point, after 13 games now?
12
games. Where I'm not going to expect anything more out of Krause other than passable.
I would have to agree with that.
You say after 12 games, but he's only started 5 of those?
He's played a lot of minutes and has had plenty of time to figure out this league.
Johan, surprise us.
Yeah, please.
I feel the same way, but I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised come, say, playoffs, when we need him to be this force that he's getting there, but he's just on the brink, or he'll touch it and then it'll pass.
I'm wrong about things like this a lot. So I was like waiting for him and hoping for him all year. And then now that I've like finally said, all right, screw it. He'll probably come around. Yeah.
But it does seem to be next season would be the only time we could expect a, wow, I didn't know that's who Krause was.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a thought.
Why next season?
Because he'll have a whole season to reflect on and say, boy, I was really shit. I need to improve.
Now, again, in some fairness, you had a guy named Benny Failhaber that was pretty much mediocre when he first came to Sporting also.
Until the playoffs.
And he got better and better as the season went and really shined in the playoffs. Yeah. And he was a guy who had already played in MLS before he came here and had already played in Europe before he came here. So,
but
possibility of Krause making that leap is very much
we
there.
We know Failhaber's mental state, much more confident than Krause seems to have shown.
Well, actually, Benny's was not thought of at the time to have the right mental capacity to do.
Well, that's for other reasons.
Yeah, I know. But my thing is that you know, he said Benny was playing mediocre. And yes, he was, and maybe not doing all of the tracking back and like all of the hard work that he needed. It wasn't like terrible giveaways in the middle of the field over and over again. Like yeah. there is a difference there.
There's
reason to say that Crosby has been below mediocre.
I will say that he did not have as many giveaways as Johan. I will agree with that, but I will say that he did have giveaways, just not as many. Probably yeah. maybe half as many, and I don't have the stats obviously to look that up. But he was not doing the things that needed to be done, and that was with a lot of good players around him at that time, a lot of good forwards also, but then the team playing a different style. So Johan, I still think has that capability that has it in him to continue to improve as he stays with this team. We just got to see it. I mean, I'm not predicting it. I'm not like 100% betting on it. You know, if there was some kind of betting system that we could bet on soccer, that would allow me to do that.
Interesting.
I still probably wouldn't do that. But
well, that's kind of what I mean. I have been betting on him to come around, and now I have reached the point where I don't think I can do that anymore. If he does it, I'll be happy. But there's just no one else in the league gives him any respect, like or any space. Like, if Felipe gets the ball in some of these places that Johan has been getting, they have to back off because they know he can go right around them, or he'll quickly get the right pass off. But now, any time Crosby is about to get the ball, he has dudes closing in on him immediately and on his back immediately, and he often loses the ball immediately because of it. He has no time to. It looks like he wants time to set himself, and then he's about to do something great. But someone always gets that foot in there right before he's able to do it.
Go back and watch his game today, and there's a lot of times he got the ball under pressure, and he was struggling to keep it, but he kept it, and then he played it off to somebody else. There was a couple times, yeah, he lost the ball pretty quickly and easily, but that's a couple times compared to what he was a month and a half ago. Okay, he was keeping the ball much better and recovering to get the ball when he lost it. But he was also being double teamed several times too.
Yeah.
So he is drawing attention where, again, he's not the best attacking mid in the league, but he is getting better and better every game.
Yeah. And like I think one of you said earlier, the fact that he was able to have as many good moments today as he did on turf in like his what, like fourth or fifth turf game, I feel like this season, fourth or like in a short amount of time.
Well, New England, Atlanta,
yeah.
Here,
so three road turf games
in a short period of
time.
New England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and according to this, he's played in 12 games and started 8. So I was thinking it was more like 5 or 6, but it is 8. So
and Peter said 10. Peter said 10. That is the number that we. So after the 10th game, I will not comment. I will reevaluate after that. So after the next two home games.
Oh, what do you mean you won't comment? We comment about Kyrie and Crosby.
Okay,
every
I'll comment,
podcast.
But I won't. I'll comment, but I won't have a set.
Definitive.
You won't treat him like flubber.
No, a flubber.
Is there anything else we should be talking about today? Anything else from the game?
No, just flubber. That's the only thing we should be talking about.
The only thing from the game that we took away.
I'm going to find a picture of Flubber in order to put on the podcast post.
Oh my God, please don't do that. People would be so confused. Or unless someone wants to Photoshop, like, Tamelia's Flubber.
We should like, Photoshop Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy into a Tamelia uniform.
I'm not familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy.
So we had another offside.
Oh.
opponent goal. Called back because of offside?
Yes.
Yeah, but, another one.
They were off. It was clear.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't like way, way off, but he was off.
Yeah, and there was no review after. I mean, it was. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't look at it. But so apparently Marufo doesn't have cards in the first half.
Yeah, what was up with that? And then.
That was really frustrating.
Matt Lawrence even said he was just like, there's been a lot of inconsistency, and there was, like with some of the calls. I mean, the one where Johnny got tugged down by the collar of his jersey. It's like
that's blatant. That's the definition of a yellow card. I don't understand what was happening there.
That is pulling up pictures of Flubber at this full This topic will not die on this podcast today. I'm so sorry to all of our listeners.
So where on the field was this tug down?
He was busting into the final third. Like, it was, yeah.
Oh, it was not far outside the box.
Yeah, it was maybe, yeah, 25 yards out of from the goal, maybe.
It was even that far.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a straight pull down from
just
behind.
Blatant. There's no excuse. He has to be getting in trouble for that.
Yeah. No, there's other guys, like, defenders coming that way. Right. So it's not a dog so in any way, shape, or form. But it should have been a card for just a straight tug down because he had the opportunity to maybe shoot from 20 yards outside the box. Or
no,
20 yards.
It was,
from
the
box.
Yeah, who was the one who pulled him down?
Oh, I can't think of who
was it.
Maxig?
I can't pronounce it.
I'm calling that one a fine. That's a fine for that one. You attempted the name.
I can, like, see the letters, but, like, I can't say them.
Oh. Him?
Maximiliano.
That's not what it is. There's no L in there. Huh.
That is a
fine.
Weird name.
Maximiniano. Maximiniano. That has to be it.
Yeah.
Okay. Maximiniano. I think I want to say it was him, but I feel like it wasn't. Either way, whoever it was tried to pull up, like, offered his hand to pull Johnny up after, and Johnny just gives him both, like, both hands out wide, like, what the hell, man? Like, he was not having it.
Yeah, that guy knew he did something wrong. He was trying to help him up to avoid the card that was not coming anyway.
As bad as we pronounce the names on this podcast, we could become professional broadcasters.
Whoa!
Oh.
There were a lot of mistakes in this game.
At least I recognize what Kyrie Shelton looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
In Nate's defense on that one, that was the camera guy's fault a little bit for showing Opara instead of Kyrie.
It just made a really weird noise.
So, just 24 shots, 10 on target, 5 blocked. I mean, obviously, it seems like the finishing was just not there.
I mean, if you look at the score and nothing else, you would think that the game was far closer than it was. And Sporting had ample chances. They had, I think, nearly like 60% possession the entire game.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, in the second half, how many times did Minnesota even, like, attempt?
Yeah, they had nothing in the second half.
So. Yeah, Sporting just dominated but could not find the back of the net. And quite honestly, it looked more like Minnesota was ready to settle for a draw there than...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 5 minutes left in a game, on the road, tied. Most teams are like, okay, we'll settle for the tie, right? Nope, Sporting was the ones going on the attack. Melia's the one that as soon as the ball went out of bounds, he's grabbing it, rolling it up to the six-yard line and running up to kick it to get it in play again. They were wanting to go for the win, and Minnesota was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, Sporting had all of, like, they had everything that they needed to get it done. They just simply couldn't pull it off. And
Except
goals. And one thing that bothered me, too, was, like, of all the chances we had and all of the pressure we were putting on up top, I didn't feel like we had any, like, quality chances. Like, maybe a couple, like, Zusi should have had that one. But, like, other than that, there were very few times where I was like, oh, that should have been in. It was like,
Shuttleworth made, like, 3 or 4 really good saves, I thought.
Yeah.
But, it could have been more dangerous.
Yeah, I wasn't having those, like, edge of my seat, like, oh, like, so close kind of reaction.
I was like that on Zusi's missed header. I thought that was the winner. I thought we had it.
He's got to get that on goal, for sure.
Well, it would have been in true Zusi, our offensive... I guess striker. Well,
that's what Zusi does. That's why he is no longer a winger, because he can't, in front of goal, when it's given to him, he will not score it. He can create a goal from the outside back position, but he's got to do it himself, and it's got to be miraculous. If he's given a shot to finish in the box for Sporting Kansas City, it never happens. He would do it for the national team, but there's been too many times I've watched him not score up
He
close.
Scored at a higher rate for the national team than he did for Sporting like the last 4 years.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so I'm still trying to figure out why no Rubio, why no Gerso, why no Lobato. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Allie, when you said we had everything we needed at the end of that game, I was like, everything except Gerso.
Yeah, I misspoke.
But no, seriously, why do you think he didn't sub?
I don't understand.
Was
I think
he creating chances?
Does Peter have...
Yeah, I guess like, the chances were there, I guess, is what
Yeah, but like...
And that's what he would say, is because they were playing well enough that he didn't need to change. If they're playing really well, they're dominating the game, they're getting... And I'm going to play Vermeer's advocate here for a second, or devil's advocate. Devil Peter, no. If you're creating chances and your team is just dominating and doing everything you can except scoring goals, you make a change and now everybody's got to like, oh, well, you know, Johnny Russell was making this run. Now I got to look for Gerso, who's going to be a much more this different right. player. They're so in sync and doing everything right except.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so is the defense. The defense has to say, uh-oh, now we got to look out for this type of run.
I understand.
I think I was just expecting with 5 minutes of extra time, like put Gerso in at the 90th minute.
Is the factor of, okay, a guy who's on the bench, hasn't been playing that much, really wants to go in and make an impact, is that a factor that needs to be considered?
I think so. I think Rubio and Gerso both, they have that extra pressure on right. them of, you know, this starting like forward line with Shallowy, Shelton, and Russell looks pretty like solid for the time being. So they know that they're not getting minutes if they do, it's going to be what, like five? If that, so they're going to want to go in there and, I mean, Gerso, not saying that he's going to do it back-to-back games, but did it at Atlanta.
Well, that's why I wanted to see him. One reason I thought, you know, that's an extra reason to have played him in this game, was let him capitalize on that.
And I hate subs that are 5 minutes left in the game.
Agreed.
That sucks.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's hard to come in. You got almost every time you get your first touch on the ball is, you know, you got to just get used to touching the ball again, right? I mean, not that they shouldn't be used to touching the ball, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. You do usually get extra time, too.
But I guess in this case where I felt different was, like, we had and we were dominating so much in their end that, like, I don't think someone coming in with 5 minutes left, it would have taken them too much time to, like, really adjust because everything was going so forward. And someone like Gerso, who, like, is so explosive – moving forward, I think he would have been the perfect addition. Rubio, on the other hand, maybe would have not been if Peter was going to choose between the two of them, but he didn't. So,
for me, about 15 minutes, well, about the 75th minute, I would have brought in Gerso for Shelton, moved Shallowy to the middle, even though I know he's not a typical center forward, moved him there for a little bit, let that see if that changed anything for the positive. If it didn't change something for the positive, then you could have brought in Rubio for Russell, flip Gerso back out, Shallowy back out, and that way you would have had some fresh legs. That's the biggest difference for bringing in a sub at that point.
Yeah.
Even if the team is working really well, so it's the fresh leg going against tired defenders, but it is still that weird getting a good touch, and, you know, that's why I hate the 5 minutes
right.
thing. 10, 15, 20.
Well, and it's hard because you can't. Your expectations have to be, you can't be like, oh, we're putting in Rubio and he's going to score. Like, we don't have anyone on the team
right.
that is, you know, that consistent in scoring that we can just rely on to go in at any amount of time left and just put one away for a win.
I just wonder if having a week and a half off was a impact. You know, okay, I don't need to sub for fresh legs because these guys have been off for a week and a half or, you know, no game anyway. Just a thought.
It could be, but I still think it's more they were doing so well. I mean, we've asked Vermees about that in the past in different games, and he essentially say they're doing so well, there's no need to make a change.
Yeah,
it's not going to make something better at that point. No, we may disagree with that, and that's quite all right, but that's pretty much how he feels a lot. But he has subbed more this year. It just seems...
It just has a feeling of, you know, 2 points lost.
Yep. But so 1 point gained.
So it goes.
Glass half full or glass half empty?
Yeah.
It's kind of
like Cody said, if we want to be an elite team, this is 2 points we should have gained.
Yeah.
I think I said that.
Or Thad said that. Okay.
No, they're trying to be top of the table. Right. Still in second place with that point. Go ahead of NYCFC on goal differential. So, yeah, that's a game that they should be taking all three from. But Kyrie scored, and I don't care.
No, really, though.
Let's hope it's a harbinger of many more to come.
I know.
Or a handful more, anyway.
I told Dad this before, but I noticed that Kyrie was, like, always the first one there to celebrate goal, like anyone else on the team's goal scored. Even that one against Colorado, that Shallowy like put away, that was Kyrie's goal. Like it was literally Kyrie's. Kyrie's on the ground, but was still the first one over there, like congratulating Shallowy. So he was always like, he's such a team player, which I think is so cool. And you know, he doesn't have that typical center striker type of like ego or mentality that sometimes you can see. I think he is more, I don't know, he just deserved it. And I'm so proud. We're so proud.
I like him. I like him at the top of this weird team. And at least he showed that he can score a gimme. That's what we need from him, is to be able to score the easy ones like that.
And on a set piece.
I don't know how easy it was, but
that was not necessarily gimme, but he did the right thing.
He rose up. The ball was perfectly delivered right in the center at the top of the 6-yard box. He's a taller guy. He jumped in the air and he headed it straight down into the roof of the net. It was perfect, but it was easy.
We've discussed before here. I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, because we have so many long discussions that aren't even recorded. But bouncing a round ball off of an oblong, weird-shaped head that's as you're jumping and all those other things, I mean, is not always the easiest thing to do.
Well,
you've seen plenty of guys put that well over the net or into the keeper's hands. Or
that conversation that we were having was for like normal people like me. If a ball was coming in my head, that's not that easy.
Well, but he did.
Should we get the pug nets and go out back and try?
Well, he did what you're supposed to do. He hit it down.
Yeah, and that's one
textbook.
Yes, very good thing that he did.
If that was not an easy header, then there is never such thing as an easy header.
Lobato's chest goal was easier than that.
Well, yeah. Well, it fell to him on the goal line. By the way, I've noticed another one of Nate's favorite phrases is goal mouth. At least once a game, he uses that phrase, goal mouth.
In what context?
The ball goes goes in front of the goal mouth. Anytime it's like in the box, he uses that phrase.
That's why he's a highly trained, highly paid broadcaster.
Highly trained. Why didn't they release their salaries? I wonder what all of them get paid.
Well, if there's a team broadcaster union who's like, you know, trying to get other people paid more, they might do that.
Is there one of those?
Yeah.
I don't know. I said if there was.
Oh. Okay, well, we lied last week when we said we were going to record a preview.
Hey, life happens. Come on. Yeah.
Life got in the way.
We were all super busy.
Things happen.
And Cody forgot.
And I forgot.
And so did Dad.
I forgot, and they didn't remind me.
No, I was busy, but yeah.
But we will try to do that this week, even if it's not all four of us.
Well, we got 5 nights to do it, so.
Yeah, we have plenty of time.
Ahead of Retro Night, when three of us, right?
I am.
You two are doing it, right?
I am so sad. I can't get over it.
Three out of the four in the studio will be participating in the media game during Retro Night.
Hey, we better go 3 for 3. I don't care whose team who is on. We better go 3 for 3 here.
I want one of you to go before me so I can score on one of you.
Why?
Specifically,
what will
Thad.
That prove?
I want to chip Thad. I want to just easily chip it over Thad.
Then I'll just stay on the line.
Give away your strategy.
Yeah.
Will you use the tree method of goalkeeping or the flubber method?
Yeah, I suppose we should. It's not going to be a normal media game as we've gotten used to. It's Retro Night, so they're going to be doing old school MLS shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
When I think everyone is going to be on offense, everyone's going to try to score, and then I think you have to turn around and play goalie after that.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You go right from shooting into goal, which I don't know how they're going to do that, because, I mean, how are we going to have teams?
I don't know. And there's going to be some people that are bad, that are going to look really bad.
I think that's
and
their
if
hope.
If any of us let one of them score, shame, shame, shame.
Like, I'm not saying I'm going to hit the goal frame, but, like, hopefully I'm not going to let. There's going to be people falling over and, like, that kind of thing.
Okay, are you going to practice, Cody? Are you going to go with the ball this week and practice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I probably will too.
Yeah, I might just go play foot golf to do it, but.
Oh, okay. There
but
you.
Yeah.
That's
I need,
a good idea.
I will be on a plane to Atlanta, but I need live updates. I don't even. Yeah.
All right.
Forget the Sporting Kansas City game.
We need to make sure we get video of each one of
yes.
us doing this.
I need to feel like I was there.
I want to do it wearing those Snapchat goggles. That'd be good. That'd be fun. The team has a pair of those, too, I think.
Okay.
Or they did at one point. We don't get a jersey this year. This is the best
T-shirt. Yeah.
It's the best retro jersey that they've done, and we don't get one.
I like the one last year.
Yeah, and I was on the blue team. So I had to buy it.
I was going to wear the other one today, the one that I got, but I forgot.
We'll do that for the preview pod.
Yes.
We'll come in uniform. But okay.
Full uniform.
Next week, or this week, later this week, we will have another podcast and more shit talking about the media game.
Was there anything else we want to discuss today?
Damn it, Dad. Every time. He waits until I start. No, I
gave
the
opening
down.
Earlier. I gave this opening earlier.
Yeah. You tried it earlier. There was no answer. So now I'm ending the show.
Well, how about we save it for the preview? We'll bring it up then.
It is what? What is it? What are we saving? We have nothing. That's just trying to derail me.
I bet what he's talking about is the recent...
You're the one who wanted to discuss
game.
This.
Okay, but we can
talk about that.
All right, yeah.
What's your problem?
Is that what you were referring to?
I was trying to give her the opening.
What do you think it was?
I thought he was just doing what he always does. He's just asking, oh, is there anything else we should talk about? If you want to talk about gambling, come out and be like, hey, we should talk about gambling, Cody.
I didn't care. I was giving Allie the opening because she was the one that brought the subject up earlier, so I was trying to be nice and let her take the lead.
It is something.
I was trying to get the assist. I was trying to do a good pass.
No.
Okay, so.
To do what you always do.
We were just. Dad and I they were one of the many failed examples of what could have been goals in the game today. But
yes,
but yeah,
gambling.
Sports gambling.
Are
now,
you going to make bets or not?
Am I? No, because I have terrible luck. I'm a horrible gambler. I like to make... Actually, no, I'm not. I'm actually pretty good at blackjack. But only when my friend Grant is dealing and only at my friend Brendan's house.
It's conditional.
It's a conditional thing, but I have won... some good money doing that. But sports gambling, I have not done. But maybe now I will. So, yeah, we talked about it a little bit in here before, but just kind of how that is going to impact MLS here in the years to come.
What is the timeline? When is all of this going to happen? Or, like, when are the states going to figure it out? Because isn't that what it's left to now? Each state has to decide?
Now each state can allow it.
So... Well, okay, so if it's federally allowed now, doesn't that mean it could just start happening right now?
I think it still has to be allowed by the state.
I think it would be legal right now, and you would just be running the risk that the state could come in and decide it's not. Maybe not. But I would like to see all this. I'd like to see a stand across the street in the Legends to place your bets to place your bets before you come in the stadium.
And it like doubles as like a photo booth too. So it's like, here, come in and get it. Do a photo booth and also place your bets.
This would be in stadium gambling. Oh. You would probably have
so there'd be
in
like
stadium gambling where you would have
windows
where
can you imagine the cauldron going effing nuts.
Yeah, because they would like winning all bet for a PK happening on their end or something.
Yeah, like I know it's gonna be interesting too. What like you know, what are the bets gonna be? Who, how is this?
Well, it's
holding gonna.
From what Don Garber told me personally, was that
personally.
Yeah. Well, he was standing closer
you do call
to
him
me.
Don now.
Yeah, well. He was standing to me as close as Allie is right now. So I consider it personal.
Pretty close.
Actually, closer.
Arm's length.
But he said that, you know, there was like prop bets. You could do stuff like how many corner kicks were going to be taken, who was going to, you know, get the next goal, you know, that sort of thing. You can do those in stadium.
Oh, and so it wouldn't even just be like that a bet that you had to place necessarily like at a certain time before the game started. You could be doing it throughout the game on different.
Yeah. It could be like a never ending changing thing about what's going on in the game.
Prop bets are the best.
Yeah. That sounds fun. I'm here for it.
It's a great way to lose money.
Yeah.
I think Taylor Twellman had a very good take on it. If you guys haven't tried MLS Rewind on ESPN Plus yet, it's a good weekly update. And his take was that MLS has the most to win from this and also has the most to lose. You can get a whole new market of people and to get gamblers to start following. But then some players make so little money in this league that it opens the question of how easily it would be to buy them. And also at a critical or something of a critical time in this league while they're still trying to grow, how detrimental something like match fixing could be
right.
to the growth of the league.
And I think in soccer, being that every goal counts more than like, you know, basketball.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah. you know, there's 100 baskets in a basketball mm-hmm. game, right? In soccer, every goal matters so much more that just, you know, one own goal, one slip to let a defender, you know,
yeah.
an attacker run
one
by you.
One whiff from a center back and that's and it's all over.
Yeah, and all that could easily allow somebody to fix a game or affect
Oh, easily. Game. Of any
Think about a goalkeeper. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Think about the prices that goalkeepers could have on their heads because they screwed up, mm-hmm. you know, something that ruins somebody's bet.
I know, yeah. and think about how little a backup goalkeeper makes in MLS and how easy it would be to tempt that person and change his life with one bet.
To fake
well,
a flub.
Like, look at our game against Atlanta. Like, imagine what, like, you know, with Kuzan coming out.
Yeah.
Like, what, like, that whole game would have been just a nightmare of betting.
You pay the backup keeper at the beginning of a season, when you get your chance, that one game, you get your chance to come in. You know, it doesn't have to be a top player like that. It's you can mm-hmm. you can change one of these backup players' lives very easily.
Yeah.
And in the scheme of a whole season, it may not matter much for what it does to a team. I mean, you have a team that's going to finish middle of the pack. What does it matter if you finish 10th or 11th?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You make the playoffs or you don't make the playoffs. But so it could be worrisome if that's where it's at. I think the prop bets are harder to do that, though. I mean, that matters less.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's harder to say, hey, Tim Melia, can you make sure they have 9 corner kicks today?
Right. No, like, know. That's a but, yeah, I mean, that's harder for someone to kind of, like, fix a game.
So
yeah. But I guess if any of our lovely listeners have any other comments on it, put them in the comments. Because you know that we respond.
Our lovely listeners.
Lovely. You guys are lovely.
I think the policy should be proceed with caution with this gambling
yes.
thing.
Yes, I agree.
I think all the leagues are jumping into it, though. They've all declared that they want the 20%, the equivalent of 20% of what they call integrity money. Mm-hmm. In order to assure the game is still has integrity, which they should be ensuring the game already has integrity, because somebody asked that, like somebody asked Don that question. What does that mean in that regard? Because the league should already be having integrity, should be already worried about that. He said it will actually, because of the new opportunities for betting, it would raise the need for it. It would have to they'd have to be more, even more vigilant of it, because it would allow other types of the ways to affect the game. Now you're more worried about the keeper who like puts or a defender maybe who puts his own goal in order to throw a game, right? Something like that might be pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where a prop bet where a keeper just deflects the ball out 3 times
yeah.
to get corner kicks instead of goal kicks, that might be a little bit less obvious.
I think they just landed on that word. I mean, all the leagues are doing this so they can get a cut of this money. They're mad
right.
everyone else has been getting it. So I think they just landed on it, on that word, just to call it that. But the league is going to get money from this, and I think they just decided to call it that.
Well,
what sounds nice.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's required. I mean, they're all the leagues are stating that they want this in order to allow it in their stadiums.
Yeah.
So, but you could still do it outside the stadium, I would think, and be able to get away with it. Again, I don't claim to be a total expert on the whole betting thing. I'm just going off what my buddy Don told me.
Dad's buddy Don. Best of friends.
We could isn't Jimmy Nielsen in this world kind of?
You had to go there, didn't you?
Casino Jimmy.
You had to go there.
Let's get
you?
His take on all of this.
My favorite Jimmy.
Casino Jimmy. What a name. I love it.
Little Jimmy, Casino Jimmy. So many. How many Jimmys have we talked about in the show? Jimmy Madronda.
The bad thing is
that's Cody's Jimmy.
It's a popular name.
It's my little brother's name.
I claim Jimmy Madronda. Yes, he is my Jimmy. I'm fine with that statement. Okay, family. Till later this week. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still don't know what night, but we'll figure it out. We're going to do it. I'm not going to lie to you 2 weeks in a row. I would never do such a thing.
Was there anything else we need to talk about?
I could see it in his eyes. I'm looking at him. I was waiting for him to do it. No, there's nothing else at this juncture.
That is it.
Are you sure?
I'm wrapping it up.
And
we do need to come through with those promises, I would guess, though.
Yes. We'll come through on our guests, and we will also record another podcast later this week. I promise. Okay, go sporting.
Woo!
We'll talk to you later.
Good night, folks.
Pugnet.
Skipper has just been sent off. Support a strong evolve. Don't stop my foot buttons. Got me drinking. My foot buttons. Got me drinking. My foot buttons. Got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this.